Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, everything's just wonderful. spring is just about here. It's time for everybody to get their lawns ready, their flower beds ready. I mean, it's time.
You know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were talking about how spring seems to be the brightest time of year. It's the time when all the grass is still green, if you have any grass. Flowers are the brightest. The skies are the bluest. And then once we get into summer, you know, things get brown and crunchy, and, you know, flowers don't, you know, do so well. Grass doesn't do so well. But this is the most colorful time of year. And I got thinking about it, and I thought, you know, it really kind of is. Maybe that's why most of us like spring so much.
Well, it's because everybody plants. You know, your flowers are always got a lot of them that don't survive. And after the drought last year, you know, I've got to replace a lot of flowers. I know everybody does. Then you've got to do your weed deal for your lawn. Then you've got to fertilize the lawn. Mm. I mean, there's so many steps right now. If you're going to have a pretty yard and pretty flowers, you got to do it now.
Yeah. And, I mean, golly, we're, what, 3 weeks, I think, away from Easter? I can't believe
that's
that
right.
Easter's early. So you got to start getting, you know, Easter, you want that to be, you know, bright and colorful between, you know, the plants and the trees and the flowers and all that. But then you've got to, you know, have the bright, colorful suits and dresses and all that that goes with Easter. So we're getting into that time. And then tonight, I think we move forward. We spring forward an hour.
And that's remember, true. It's spring. All the little animals are coming up.
Yes.
One lady said she went to Las Vegas, came back. They had 8 new baby goats.
Really?
And they are the cutest things. They did a video of them. They're just jumping and jumping and turning upside down and turning upside down.
Wow.
I mean, they are cute.
Neat.
Oh, my gosh. It was funny. But if I had 8 animals over a weekend, I would just faint.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it'd be all over. I couldn't handle 8 of anything.
That'd be like an instant Brady Bunch.
It would be. It's just like the Brady Bunch. But she came home and had 8 new baby goats.
Wow.
And they are adorable.
Surprise.
They are so cute. Yeah. And now the little chicks are coming out of their little shells. You know, the schools have got baby chicks. They're coming this week. And then they're saying, oh, you can take them home with you. Wrong. Wrong.
There'll be no taking the chicks home.
No, I tried to explain to them. These are tiny baby chicks. You have to have a heat for them. You have to have all kinds of things for them. You have to have water that's got the medicine in it. I mean, you're looking at several hundred dollars to have a baby chick.
Yeah, it's expensive and it's a lot of responsibility, especially for children. It's not like just a ball that you
That's
can like
right.
set down. You got to take care of these.
And the odds of one of them living is not real good.
I know it.
You know, when they don't have the mother hen there and you're trying to do all this artificially, it's not a good deal.
No. And then, you know, when something like that happens, then children are always disappointed by it, and it breaks the heart.
They're devastated, yes.
Yeah. So
it's better, if you're not an experienced chicken farmer, don't get into with the little chicks.
No. Leave them at school or where they go. Wherever they go.
That's
I don't
right.
know where
Leave
that is.
Leave them at school until they're older.
Yeah.
You know, when they're grown.
Hmm.
Now, if you want to get a duck and put it on your pond, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
You know, things for the pond, things that don't take any work. That's a good deal.
Yeah, or chocolate covered chicken candy. You know, for Easter, that's great.
Yeah,
but not live ones.
Rather than real ones, just get you some chocolate Easter eggs.
Yeah,
the ones that look like the bunny rabbit and all the other things. That's a good idea. Yeah,
preferably the ones that are filled with peanut butter, but I'm just saying.
That's right.
Wow.
Well,
this
they
is
make good Easter candy.
You know, it's like that's a thing. It's like the Easter candy seems like it's got all the bright colors. They make it look so appealing. It looks even better than the Halloween candy because it's so bright and colorful. It just draws
it
you
is.
In.
It is. It's gorgeous.
Yes. Oh, we went and gotten some of this. We hadn't done this in years, but we went and got a little bag of those, just like the Hershey's chocolate eggs. we got a bag of those. Oh my gosh, those are better. We hadn't had those in 20 years. They were better than I remember.
Oh, but they still make them, don't they?
They do. They do, and they're delicious. Oh,
oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness. The Easter candy is so, oh, that's how they draw you in. That's how they get you.
I love that chocolate. There isn't anything like it in the world.
I know it. I know. Do you like the Peeps, or do you really go for the chocolate?
I'd rather have the chocolate.
Me too. I'm not a Peeps person. Some people are.
But I do love it. Oh, my gosh. And you just go and buy as much of it as you want.
I know. Until you eat it and make yourself sick.
That's right. And I would be time I got through, let me tell you.
I think that's the goal.
I have to try to keep myself away.
Oh, I know it. If you don't bring it in the house, you can't eat it. But boy, it does look colorful and pretty. And when you bring it in, you're going to sit down and eat it. It's like Halloween
that's
candy.
Right.
You just sit down and eat it out of the bag.
Well, I try to say, okay, I'm only have three or four pieces.
Yeah. Right.
But then in a little bit, I'll go back and say, well, just three more pieces,
yeah.
You know? Yeah. And before you know it, it's all gone.
Yeah. The end of the day comes, it's like, I'll have three more pieces, and the bag is empty.
Oh, my gosh. But it ain't fun.
Yeah. I know it. Oh, this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. 3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And just to throw this out real quick, if you have waited on your Easter candy, there are some places that are starting to run low. We ran into one place, I forget where it was, but they were almost out. It was crazy.
Really?
So, yeah.
I mean, it's 3 weeks late.
I know.
Everybody should have plenty of candy.
You would think, but no, some of the shelves are starting to get a little bit bare in some places.
Oh goodness!
I know. So, what are we doing this week? How? What's the some of the highlights? What's the good news?
Well, the highlights are, you know, we had all these maturities. A lot of the checks got to the bank this week, and there was one that I was kind of shocked about. The guy was Tony Francofla. It's a hard name. Anyway, we got more on the check than we were expecting. There was an extra $30,000 in interest on it.
Whoa, really?
Yes, and we were in shock. We knew how much it was supposed to be, but it was $30,000 more.
Wow.
So those people are going to, each one's going to get, there's five of them in it, each one's going to get $4,000 to $5,000 extra above their interest and above what they made.
Wow, that's incredible.
Neat?
And so what is that for? It's interest?
It's extra interest they paid, and we couldn't figure out why. Usually interest runs, you know, on a small policy like this, $200 to $300 extra, but no, this was $30,000.
Wow. Do you get extra interest often? Is this a normal thing?
Oh, yeah, we usually always get it. Well, what they usually do, they pay from the time they're notified till they write the check.
Really?
Yes. And a lot of them, it's 2%, 3%. Used to be some that paid 5 and 6. But this guy was 35 years old. And we did this October of 22. And he had lung cancer.
Mm-hmm.
35 years old. And he passed away in January.
Oh, wow. So this is March. Okay. All right. So I'm doing the math. So that's why. Okay. So this is, I guess, it's incentive for them to write the check as soon as possible, because the longer they wait, the more interest they pay.
Yes, that's right.
Wow. Well, that works out great for investors then, I suppose.
It does. And, you know, they did real well on that. You realize that's about 39% profit.
Oh, my word. Wow.
Yeah.
That's great profit. That is a huge return.
It is really great profit. So they all did real well.
No doubt. Wow. You know, you say all the time that, you know, it's when you have the LE and you know what you're going to get paid, and, you know, when the policy matures, here's when and here's how much and all that. But then you say, you know, things like, oh, and sometimes it's more than that. It just kind of depends. This is what you're talking about. This kind of thing that happens with the extra interest.
That's right. And it's usually not that good. But remember that one that we had 2 months ago paid $250,000 extra.
Jeez.
It was a large policy. And it took us quite a while to get her money. So it was worth it because it was $250,000 in extra interest. And they were all excited when they got their checks and saw that extra interest.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, geez, if I had to wait a couple extra weeks to get an increase like that, yeah, I'd do it all day. Wow.
So anyway, as you know, we had a total of $7 million coming. And I think this other money should be there first of the week on Stephen, and that's $3 million.
Good Lord. Wow. Well, that's
fantastic. All of them but one came in early. One did not, but the others did. So I think we're doing a good job now because things are coming in early, not just on time, but a lot of them are coming in early.
Mm. How are new policies coming in, availability? And the reason I'm asking is because the idea, the concept is that when a policy does mature, you know, just usually sit on it, you turn around, reinvest it into other policies.
That's so. Right. I've got three bids out, big ones. We're bidding on $11 million policy, a $3 million policy, and a $2 million one.
Wow. That's cool.
So we're going to see. And we've bid it tight. We've bid it hard. If we get it, there's a lot of profit. But, you know, we never know till the bidding is over. And I do not know what day the bidding ends on the $11 million policy.
Mm.
But it started 3 weeks ago, and there was not hardly anybody bidding on it.
Really?
And, yeah. So they came back to us. We said, oh, yeah, we didn't think that we could possibly get it, so we didn't bid it. So we went ahead and bid it. But I don't know where it's at now. I don't know how tight it is.
Is there a way to check the progress during the bidding
process?
Yes.
Okay. We call the broker and say, you know, send us information. What day it's going to end and what's the top bid.
So you can
tell us.
You actually have a chance. It's not like a blind bid. You actually have a chance to find out what the top bid is, and if you can or want to, or if it's profitable to go above that, you can counterbid.
Yes.
Right? Oh, wow.
They'll always tell you what the top bid is. They won't tell you who it's bid by, but they will tell you what the top bid is. And lots of times we don't know that we're the top, and they'll send us an email and say you're the top bidder on it.
Wow.
Yeah. And when they do that, then we're really paying attention and really watching it really close.
Do as you go through the process of bidding, is there ever a situation where it's kind of like maybe somebody's like sitting and waiting, kind of like an eBay auction or something like that, where, you know, you wait till like the last minute to outbid somebody, whether it's you outbidding
people
them?
Do that all the time. They'll wait till the bidding has stopped. And then come in under it and bid it. Yes, we have that happen all the time.
So it's pretty fierce.
It is fierce and very competitive.
Hmm. So it's not like you just put in a bid and then kind of walk away and see what happens in a couple of weeks.
Not if we're really interested in it. We're on it.
Hmm. How long does the bidding process usually last? Or is there a...
Usually it's a couple of weeks.
Okay. All right.
And in this case, it's run over because nobody was bidding it, you know, that first go-around.
So then I assume when something like that happens, they contact you and, I guess, others?
They contacted us and said, are you going to bid this policy?
Huh. And then you said yes, put in a bid. Do other people, when something goes over like this and the bidding process extends, when you put in another bid, does it kind of like reset, I guess is what I'm asking. Does it reset the time period? Or,
no.
Okay, so when it's done, so it could be
it's
very
supposed,
well.
It's supposed to have a set date.
Oh.
They can extend it, but usually it's a set date that they're going to say, okay, we're all through.
Okay.
And then you have to say, they've got to talk to the owner and see if they'll accept the bids. And they may not. They may say, no, it's too low. We'll just keep our policy. You know, we've had that happen two or three times this summer, that we had won the policy, and then the people said, we've thought it over. We're not going to sell.
Mm. That's a bummer.
Yeah, and if they don't get what they want, lots of times they just back off. Doesn't matter, you know. We've got one right now that the people have never signed the documents.
Really?
We've been waiting and waiting.
Did they accept it and just not sign, or did they just change
their
mind?
That's right. They accepted it, and they haven't said no. They just haven't signed anything. And the broker notified us that they haven't been able to get them to sign the documents.
Really? Is there any feedback, like why? Or?
No, we don't know why, but we have the option of canceling and putting everybody's money back in their account.
Wow. Does that happen often, where people just kind of like ghost you? Wow.
No, doesn't happen very often.
Hmm. Well, that's kind of frustrating.
Usually it's either yes or no, and we know whether we got it or we didn't, and we go straight forward from there.
I would assume then, from what it sounds like, most people, when they decide to go ahead and sell it and they accept the offer, they're probably in a hurry to get it done, I would assume.
That's right. A lot of them need the money. You know, they've got tremendous bills, and this is the best way for them to get money. But then you have the ones that just want to settle up their estate. They want to get it all in cash and give it to the kids now. And that's usually the best way. If you're a large policyholder, you've got a lot of money, you may want to divide it up now. That way there's no fighting, no fuss. Everybody knows what they're going to get up front.
Hmm. Okay. So when did you say that you'll probably have an idea about these bids that are out in the next?
I would think by the end of the week we'll know whether we got them or not.
Okay. All right. Well, cool. Well, it sounds like some good policies are hanging out there. That would be good if you get
it. It's really good policies. All three of them. There's not a one of them that I would turn down if we got it.
Hmm. Can you tell what types of policies they are, or is that?
The big one is a colon cancer.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Yes, it is a colon cancer.
That's one that people like a lot.
I know they do. And we're, waiting to see. It has metastasized. I think it would be a really good policy. We just don't know what the competition is going to do.
Wow. Is that the $11
million? Yes.
Wow. Boy, that'd be a great policy.
Yeah, that's right.
Hmm.
So we just, have to wait and see. But it would, if we got it at what we bid, and we don't know that, the profit is tremendous on it.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's great news. That's really great news.
But the broker on the other side may be thinking the same thing. He may be saying, the bids are low on it. It's too good to pass up. So, you never know.
So when somebody sells their policy, do they ever have like the broker, I don't want to say play games, but, say, we should really kind of hold out, or we should, reject all the bids and kind of start over? Or do they do anything like that? Or is it, are they just kind of like,
if they reject all the bids, that means that they're going to keep it. So then they're going to wait 6 months and come back at us.
Hmm.
And then we have the option to say, no, we're not bidding on your policy. And we've already gone through that. We wasted a lot of our money, a lot of our time, and we're not interested. Or we can say, yes, but it's going to be at a lower rate.
Yeah. So that's when they start playing those reindeer games.
That's right. And not long ago, we had a guy come back. And we looked at it and we said, nothing's changed on his policy. And we wasted 3 months. Why don't we just give him less?
Hmm.
So we didn't get the policy because we bid it really low this time.
Yeah.
Because we'd already been through this with him.
I think I remember that. Didn't you say that it took a lot of time and resources? You put a lot of work into that one, right?
That's right. And then for him to say, I'm going to take it and go home. I mean, that's really, a lousy deal, because he came to market, wanted to sell it. He didn't like what the market said it was worth, and then he had to end up going home.
Mm.
And, a lot of these guys think their policy is worth more than it is.
Mm.
And they don't realize it's a term life, has no cash value.
Mm.
And a lot of them, they don't get that. They haven't figured it out.
And then all of a sudden when they get the bids in and they are what they are, I guess probably it's a dose of reality, maybe?
Reality hits them in the face, yes.
Mm. Wow. And then when they come back again, then it's like, okay, we're not playing this game anymore. And then you kind of go from there. Well,
yeah, and some people may say, you know, we wasted too much time on you, fella. Just keep the policy. Then there may be somebody that says, oh, yeah, we'll go ahead and give you the money.
Now, there's been times that's happened where somebody will come around a second time several months later and you won't even bid, right?
That's right. Some of them we don't bid because we wasted too much time the first time.
Yeah. Yeah. That's too bad when that happens. Nobody wins in that
situation. It is, because if he really needed the money, he should have taken the offer on the first go-around and got something done for his family.
Yeah, yeah. And as time goes on, the worse things get, so...
That's right. It's not going to get any better.
Yeah. Okay, well, then that's great news for life settlements. What about annuities? Are we still in a good shape? What's going on?
We're in a good spot on annuities. We've got that new policy that's come out. They've changed all the indexes on it. The indexes are going to pay a lot more. That's going to be great. It started on the 22nd of January, or February, wasn't it? February the 22nd, I believe, is when the new policy came out. And they've changed it up completely. Now, it does not have a bonus, but the other bonus product is still in business, still got that great 12% bonus. And every money you put in now for 3 years on that one, you'll get the 12%. So it's got, both of them have got a lot of good things. The new one is a new version of indexes that I don't think anybody else has bothered to change or bothered to do. So I think it's a first for an annuity company this year to have made all the changes, kicked out the old indexes, brought in new indexes that they believe will pay a lot more.
So they've done some tweaks to kind of simplify this. They've done some tweaks to make annuities more profitable for investors. Yes?
That's right.
Okay.
And remember, when you do an annuity, it's all tax deferred till you bring it out. So if you keep your annuity, let's say 5 years before you even start taking money out, you've got a great accumulation of interest. And the other thing is, if the market goes up, yours goes up. If the market goes down, yours doesn't do a thing. It just sits there. So you never have a market correction on an annuity. And there was some brokers talking about it this week. They said, you know, lots of time, it takes a long time to recover after the market has a meltdown, you know, to get any profit at all. And it doesn't happen with annuities. Annuities just stops right there and waits. So, you know, you can't beat an annuity. They're safe. They're guaranteed. They're backed by the biggest companies in America. So you don't have to worry about some little podunk company, you know? And they're all A-rated and double A-rated because they've been in business 100 years at least.
You know, I've seen more and more articles in the last couple of weeks about market conditions and people predicting. I saw one article where somebody predicted like a full-blown market crash, I think on March 11th. Other people are, you know, referencing the fact that we're in an election year and that brings consumer instability and they lose confidence. And so people stop spending and weird things happen. If anything was to happen, regardless of what it would be with the stock market or whatever, people in annuity or really life settlement are protected from the bottom falling out, like if they were in the stock market.
That's right. Nothing's going to happen to their money. If the stock market crashes tomorrow, the annuity will still be there safe because you're with a life insurance company. You don't have the exposure you would have if you were in the stock market. You've got 1,000% exposure over there. Yes, you may make some money. You may, and nothing may ever happen, but the world doesn't work that way. You know, it has ups and downs. So if the market crashes, your money crashes with it. If you're in an annuity, no, it does not crash. It just holds steady. And it locks your interest in every year. So when you make money, it locks it in. When you're in the stock market, it does not lock it in. It's not locked. It can go away again tomorrow. So that's things to consider. If you're conservative, if you don't want to lose any money, I would have part of my money at least in annuities, because it does have all the safety features in the world.
And it's also, you know, since you mentioned that it is with a life insurance company, there are several benefits from that. One, they don't loan that money out like the bank does. It's not like in construction projects or anything like that. So there's no loan to call. They literally have all of the reserves on hand with life insurance companies, correct?
I think. That's exactly right. Okay. And your banks don't have that much reserves. And everybody's worried now, and they predicted yesterday, there's going to be 500 banks that will either crash or be bought up.
Really?
Because they've got all these real estate loans. Don't realize how many billion right now is out in real estate loans. And a lot of these companies cannot pay.
Wow.
And when they go under and can't pay, the banks are holding the land and the apartments or whatever it is and trying to say, well, what are we going to do now? You know?
Wow.
And it was fun to make all those loans when the economy was really good, when people were making so much money they didn't know what to do with it. But now things of real estate has come back down, and they're having trouble paying because a lot of the offices are not rented. A lot of people have vacated those big offices. I know in Dallas there's a lot of them that they've just vacated. And I asked this one office building, I said, how can you survive? And they said, well, we have to have deep enough pockets to sit here and wait till the economy turns around.
Wow.
And I don't think they can do it. I think eventually the banks will have to take those back.
With empty offices like that, is it partially because more and more people are working from home and they don't need the expense of an office, or is it like an economy situation related?
I think they had big office suites, big ones. I'm talking about 8-story and 20-story.
Oh, wow.
And they moved out of them. The big companies, you know, might have had one whole floor or a half a floor. Well, when they moved out, then they were just really in trouble. Then the individual leases, a lot of those people have consolidated their offices down to one building. Then the others have went out of business and just left everything. This one company showed me on several floors, and the desks were still there.
Really?
They just walked out. I mean, like I said, here you are.
Wow. They just turned off the lights and went home.
That's basically what they did.
Wow. So these companies that had like a whole floor or maybe a couple of floors and they moved out, where did they go? Or
I don't know. I have no idea. But I can tell you there is enough vacant space in Dallas to put a lot of people. I mean, a lot.
Wow. That's scary. You know, you always think that business, you know, the retail side, the consumer side, you know, it'll kind of come and go. It has its ups and downs. But the business side, you would think that still has to stay intact. And have we seen it? Seems I'm trying to remember back, and it seems like this is maybe the first time that business has dropped off. I don't think I'm saying that right, but it's like,
yeah, I think it's this in 23, there was so many big companies that went under that had offices in a lot of different states.
Yeah.
And I think that's what started it, and that's what hurt.
Jeez, that's scary.
And then that company that leased all those offices all over the United States and then were subdividing them for little bitty companies, and they were showing they were worth $1 trillion, and now they're in bankruptcy, and it doesn't look like they're worth all that.
Wow.
And they're trying to figure out how they're going to pay these people.
Jeez. That's kind of like a slap, another reality slaps you in the face. It's like there's vulnerabilities in places I guess maybe we didn't realize there were or didn't think there could be.
Yeah, and people were showing that company, I can't remember the exact amount, it was in $1 billion, you know. I mean, they were worth all this money. But when it came down to it and all the leases folded, they're not worth that much money.
Jeez. Wow.
So, you know, that's going to hurt a lot of people. the banks that loaned them money, I would say, are in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I would say so. And now that that's on the radar, it's like, you know, it's probably, there's probably going to be people that are asking questions that weren't asking questions before.
And one of the companies that I was told about yesterday has 26,000 investors.
Really?
26,000
wow.
investors.
Ooh, that's...
And I don't think they're going to get any of it back.
Wow. That's going to hurt.
26,000. And I asked them, I said, how in the world did this company get 26,000 investors? They said they went on these foreign radios that I didn't even know we had in the United States. We have Muslim, we have, I guess, Indian, I mean, a lot of different nationalities. And they advertised on those foreign radio stations. And these people didn't even understand the investment. I mean, they're foreign, bless their heart. They don't speak good English. And they put their money up, 26,000.
Wow. And then
all that. And they said this one lady asked the judge, she was pounding on the table and says, I want my money. I want my money. He said, ma'am, there's 26,000 other people that want their money. Get in line.
Wow. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
26,000. I can't imagine how you would even service 26,000 investors.
No, I don't understand that either. Man, that's going to hurt.
Oh, it is going to hurt. But look what they must have taken in. Must have been $1 trillion.
Had to have been.
And where did it go?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Where did the money go?
And they'll never get
they'll be
back.
Looking for all that.
Yeah.
They'll be looking for all that money. But the judge said he didn't think anybody'd get hardly anything.
Yeah. There's no. It's very difficult to recover something like that. Like if somebody goes and, you know, we hear about these schemes all the time where somebody will, you know, rip off a whole bunch of investors and they'll go do something and they'll buy cars and houses. But, you know, some of that you can get back. But, you know, when they take vacations or, you know, things like that, you can't recover those assets. And so that's going to hurt a lot of people. 26,000.
Yeah. And I had never read about that company until somebody's telling me about it yesterday. And I haven't even had time to look it up, but I'm going, oh, my gosh, 26,000. 2,600 I could comprehend.
Yeah.
Or 200 even, but not 26,000.
Yeah.
I mean, they must have just hauled them in, you know.
Wow.
And now then the people that don't understand English hardly, you know, they don't understand really what happened to them.
Yeah.
You know, they know the money's gone, but they don't understand how they're going to get it back, which they're not.
That's terrifying. That doesn't happen, though, with life settlements or annuities.
Nope. That's why it's a safe investment. You're buying a legitimate policy from a legitimate life insurance company. No smoke and mirrors. It's all handled professionally. We use a third party to handle the money. I mean, it's done just like it ought to be. And if I know a lot of the companies don't do it, but if they had a third party handling the money, the money would never disappear. And then with ours, invest in something that's solid like a life insurance company. When our people invest with us, we go to them and we say, here is a life policy. This is the company that's carrying the paper. We tell them if it's New York Life, if it's Hartford, whoever, they know it's a big company that's reputable and reliable. So
yeah.
When they invest their money, they know they'll get it back. They know they'll get their interest back. So it's a lot safer than most investments because it's in with a life insurance company.
You're not
and
dealing.
They pay their bills.
Yeah.
And like you said, well, go. They have the money in escrow to pay every life claim. They could pay it tomorrow on everyone they have if they had to.
Hmm.
And banks don't keep that kind of reserves, and they do. And years ago, they made the life insurance companies, you know, have reserves on everything they write.
Can life insurance companies even own their own property? Or
they can now.
They can.
Because most of them have a holding company. But years ago, they were not allowed to own their office buildings even.
Hmm. Wow.
They could not. They had to have everything invested. You had to have so much in treasuries, so much in bonds, so much in savings. I mean, it's always been really tough what they have to put up with. So they have to have a lot of assets, and it has to be a lot of it liquid.
And it's all highly regulated. And you're dealing with the best of the best companies. Like you said, you let everybody know who they are. You're not dealing with something like Bobo's Discount Insurance.
You're not doing business with somebody worth $100,000.
Yeah.
You're doing business with somebody that's worth, you know, $40 million to $60 billion. That's a B, not millions, but billions. And most people don't even know how much a billion is if we stacked it up. So if you were trying to stack up $60 billion, it would be a huge amount. It'd take up a whole building.
These companies are solid, is the takeaway.
They're solid. They've been in business 100 years.
Wow.
That's a long time.
It is.
Now, some of them have been in business 50 years. But I'm saying the main one we use has been in business 100 years.
Wow. That's impressive. And that's important because when people are looking for stability, that's what makes a difference, so that you won't wake up tomorrow and then all of a sudden somebody's out of business or they closed or there's another bank thing. You don't have to worry about any of that at all. It's not even possible.
No, because your money is always at Nevada Trust.
Cool.
It goes direct to Nevada Trust when you invest. When we pay the policies, they get the check. We don't get the check. And then it's put in your account. I mean, it's the safest way to do business. Have a third-party manager, trustee. And the trustee looks out for you. Your interest is their best thing. They know that that's their obligation to make sure your money is safe while it's there, that the premiums are paid, that you get your interest. And I told you the other day they've got this other interest account that will pay a lot more, and everybody ought to sign up for that.
Yeah.
It pays better interest than the regular account that we all have.
Hmm. And that's important.
So we can all sign up for that extra interest.
And you can do that now.
Yes. You can sign up with Nevada Trust and say, I want the bigger interest payment.
Cool.
And they'll know what you're talking about. So Faye told us there's an extra interest account that we can put our money in.
Literally, they could call and say that, and they'll know exactly what that is.
That's right.
Cool.
James Chris, vice president, will know about that account because he mentioned it to me sometime back and said, Faye, you know, they could make making more interest in this other account. I go, well, I need to tell them that.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's something that people need to take advantage of then, obviously. Any chance to improve really anything from the process to the return to, you know, all of it is obviously something that people want to get on board right away. So this is your
and
money.
I think that if you've got, excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No.
I started to say, you know, when you've got tax deferred money, it's a lot better than taxable money.
Yeah. And I think we're reminded of that with tax day right around the corner. Yeah, the T word.
That's,
that's all kind of top of mind. So, yeah, I'm glad you pointed that out. Good. Nice. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
The solar eclipse. It's coming.
Oh, cool.
Had you forgot about that thing?
Yes, I had.
Okay, well, let me tell you everything I want to tell you about. First of all, you can never look directly at the sun through a camera, binoculars, or a telescope. You have to have proper solar filters. Only use glasses made specially for eclipse viewing. They're about 100,000 times darker than ordinary sunglasses.
Really?
And view it indirectly with a pinhole projector or see what it does to shadows by holding up a colander in your kitchen. You can do that too. Plan ahead. People from all over the U.S. are coming to book rooms in the Texas Hill Country. And traffic could get nasty.
Yeah.
I mean, they're coming, folks, because it's coming to Texas. And remember, the solar eclipse is when the moon passes between the earth and the sun, and it'll be a celestial display. So everybody needs to remember this. Now, in April, it's going to cross Mexico first. It'll enter Texas through Eagle Pass. Then it's going to slowly crawl northeast across Kerrville, Bandera, Waco, and they're all near the center line. So all the people in that area is going to get a really good show. Much of the Metroplex here will experience totality, as well as parts of Austin and San Antonio. Then it will leave Texas and go into Oklahoma and Arkansas. It passes through 10 more states, then it moves into Canada. Now, how long do you think this takes?
I would say 5 hours.
In Texas, it'll be here 3 hours.
Ah, all right.
But it's going to vary by location. They say Vanderpool and Ingram down there in South Texas, it'll last 4 minutes and 28 seconds. In Austin, it's farther away. It's going to be 2 minutes. Can you imagine?
Wow.
It's going to occur, folks,
don't
between
blink.
127 and 140.
And if and with it lasting 2 minutes in some places, you don't want to blink or it's gone.
That's right. If you blink, you're not going to get there. And during those few minutes, the sky will grow very dark. It'll feel cooler. And the animals may go crazy because it's going to scare them. And says if skies are clear and in check, as they probably will be, it'll become more visible. The bright stars, you'll see them better. But it's going to be one of the great events of nature. It's going to be majestic. And it only occurs during this last few years. And in the last few hundred years, man is just now appreciating what's causing it. And it only occurs every few years. And this, the next time will be 2033, and it'll be in Alaska.
Oh, wow.
And in 2044, it'll affect Montana and the Dakotas. Then there will not be another one till 2045.
Good Lord.
Yeah, and the path is huge. And a lot of people have already made reservations all across Texas. Everything's going to be full. But our state parks will be a good place to view this. You know, we've got all of our state parks that will be open. They'll open at 8 o'clock in the morning. Now, if you really got a lot of money, you can reserve a day pass. Or you can just go to the state parks like Lost Maples, which is going to be real popular. Enchanted Rock, March 11th.
Mm.
That's when you start getting reservations. So you know that they're getting ready on March 8th. And if the parks are all booked, you can rent an RV at RV Direct.
Really?
They say you can pull over to the side of the road. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to see this. But it only happens every 20 or 30 years, so it's really important if you want to see it to gear up now, figure out where you're going to go to see the eclipse. Utopia at Four Sisters Ranch in Utopia, and they have all kinds of things. You can camp there. You can bring your RV, but they'll have hiking, biking, yoga, and 2 days of live music.
It's a whole celebration.
It's a whole celebration. And in Bandera, they're going to have a music fest. Live music, classic car shows.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. It says go early wherever you're going.
You know, I know that people plan for these things way in advance. They plot out on a map, you know, exactly where they're going to go, and they go and camp out. But I didn't realize there was, like, festivals and things all around.
Oh, yeah, everybody's gearing up for a fabulous deal. But remember, it's on the 8th.
Okay.
April the 8th.
All right. All right. Well, that's just right around the corner. So, yeah, we better hurry and start making reservations. I didn't realize.
Everybody needs to make reservations. Get those special glasses you've got to have. Don't try looking at it direct. It would blind you. And it's a once in a lifetime opportunity for people to see that.
And
a total solar eclipse, it's just going to be magnificent.
I've also read somewhere where you're not supposed to take pictures of the sun. Like, even if you're not looking at it, like with your phone, you're not supposed to take pictures directly of the sun. It could also burn out your phone.
That's right. It will screw it up really bad. But it's going to be a magnificent eclipse. And Los Maples in the Hill Country is one of the places that I know a lot of people are going to be.
Yeah.
Apparently, that's a really good viewing area, to see it.
I would imagine people are coming from all over, probably not only just the United States, but probably from all over the world, because it is such a big event, and it is so accessible, I guess, to people. It's not like something happens, for 2 minutes in the middle of the night, and it's weird. It's this big, long thing, and it's accessible, and so people are going to plan. They're going to come from all over the place, all over the world, to see it, because it is a big deal. It fascinates me how they, being NASA and scientists and astronomers, can plan out that far in advance when the next one's going to happen, down to the minute. That fascinates me.
They have to be awfully smart.
Yeah, I'm clearly not that smart.
There was an amateur photographer from San Antonio. This was back in 17. He drove 25 miles in 4 days to see it in Tennessee.
Really?
That tells you how crazy people are.
Wow.
And he wanted to be in the path of it. And he told his wife, he said, doing anything else is like being 95% in love. It's 100% or nothing.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Could you imagine how scary something like that would be to, like cavemen or people who didn't understand what was going on?
For the Indians. All those different versions of Indians years ago. I mean, they thought the world had ended.
Yeah, that'd be terrifying.
But all the Hill Country's got festivities. They've got music. They know this is going to be a red letter time.
Yeah, no doubt. We're about a month away.
Like you said, thousands of people are coming to Texas.
Yeah. And with it, this is one of those places where, we're so wide open, it can accommodate people. And so, it's not going to really be a problem, but don't wait. If you've not made your reservations, you might want to start thinking about it right now, because it's a month away. So, wow. I also saw something that at some point, and I don't remember when, and it's been a couple of weeks since I saw it, but there's something about, I think it's either Jupiter or Saturn, or there's going to be a thing with that at some point. Where it's going to cross, it'll be in line with the moon and the earth and Saturn, and it'll be the closest, and you'll be able to see the rings with the naked eye.
Wow.
Yeah, it's terrible. I shouldn't have even said that because I don't have the details, but I remember something about that. But
only going to last, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, you better be ready way in advance, have everything ready. Because it's going to pass so quickly.
Yeah. Get your spot, camp out, and
that's
be ready.
Right.
And prepare.
Or get your RV, pull over to the side of the road, be ready, be in the Texas Hill Country, because obviously that's where it's going to be seen the fastest and the best as it crosses Texas.
Yeah.
Because that's where everybody's going, is the Texas Hill Country.
I hadn't thought about it, but I think we might actually plan a road trip, because this is going to be cool.
It is going to be cool. It's going to be one, and to tell everybody that you saw it.
Yes.
That you were here in 23, April of 23, and you saw the solar eclipse.
Yeah, and then we'll have pictures to prove it.
That's right. And you've got to have those dark glasses on.
Yes.
It says 100,000 times darker than sunglasses.
And only with the sunglasses, the special sunglasses, can you look
straight
at it.
That's right, because you will not be seeing the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You've got to do it.
That'll literally be the last thing you see if you don't have them on.
It will be the last thing. You won't be driving home.
No.
No. Everybody better be prepared, but it's a great thing in Texas. It's going to be history. They'll be talking about it for years.
Yeah.
So it's a time for everybody to gear up if they want to do it. pick a spot, either go camp, go RVing. You know, you've got to have a place.
Yeah.
And be ready.
This is going to be awesome.
It really is. And thousands of people are going to be here.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, we're not so crowded that it'll be a problem.
No, it's like, it's like, you know, of all the places, like if you did this in New Jersey, people are so crammed in there. It's like, you forget it. But we're so
spread out. If you did it in New Jersey, it just wouldn't be worth talking about.
Any way to throw in New Jersey into a conversation is always fun. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is.
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Speaking of New Jersey, have you had any interactions with New Jersey lately? Any stories?
No, I haven't had to contact them lately.
Well, that's a shame. I always like when you have to contact somebody up there and then you tell the story. That's always fun. At your expense, so I'm sorry about that, but it is fun to hear. Okay.
That's right.
So for life settlements, there are risks that that you need to or prefer to or like to go over. Two main ones. What is the biggest?
The biggest one is it could go over. If it goes over, you have to pay premiums. So we always tell you that in advance where you'll know that if it went over, you would have to pay premiums. The other risk is it is not liquid till it matures. So until it matures, it's not liquid, and you cannot spend it, or you can't put it in your account until it matures.
Now, you do have to be accredited in order to do a life settlement.
You must be accredited according to the government. You must make $200,000 a year, or you must have $1 million in assets without your house. The minimum investment is $100,000.
And you say those are government regulations. Those are not phase rules.
I didn't think that up, no. I'd have thought up something different. I'd have made it more interesting if it'd been me.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
For annuities, are there any risks? I mean, there's...
Not really, because your money is always safe. It's inside an annuity. It's never directly in the stock market. It just mirrors the stock market. That's what makes it safe. Your interest is credited to you every month, and then at the end of the year, it's locked in. It locks it in once a year. So an annuity, I think, is one of the safest things. I had somebody this week bring me some money out of CDs to put in annuities. You know, a CD is okay, but it doesn't do all these other things. It's not tax deferred. You know, it's not compound interest. So this makes a difference.
And with annuities, are there any kind of, I mean, I'm sure there is, but is there any kind of strict accreditation?
It's not as strict as a life settlement, no. You have to have savings. You have to have investments. You can't take your last dime and put it in an annuity. They don't allow that. So there is some restrictions, but they're pretty easy.
The other way is for Vegas. If you have your last dime, you go to Vegas, not annuities.
That's right. If it's your last dime, just go ahead and give it to them and come home on the bus.
And stop by and see the eclipse on the way home.
That's right. And you know, I was going to mention real quick, one of my clients is turning 90.
Oh, wow.
And she lives down at Temple, Texas. And she retired from the newspaper and put her money with me and 2000. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine?
Wow.
And I was talking to her the other day. She said, I said, well, what do you do about groceries? Oh, she said, I've got an app with HEB. I just look at the pictures in order and it comes to the house. I mean,
wow.
She is as sharp as she ever was. I think because she worked at a newspaper, she takes care of herself, her and her little dog. And she still has women come over for coffee on Tuesdays.
How neat. Wow.
And she said one of her annuities, she put $100,000 in it back in 2000. She's never touched it. Her IRA, she said, Faye, you know, I have to take that money out every year. I said, yes. And she said, I still have $27,000 in that account.
Wow.
And she's been taking it since 2000.
Jeez, that's incredible.
So it's made good money all these years.
So she was what? Okay, so she's fixing to be 90. So she got in around like mid-60s-ish?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think she's probably 64, 65 when she retired. And a company had taken her money, and I told her what to do to get it back. And she got it back, and she put it all with me. It's been there ever since.
Wow.
And I can't believe how good her mind is. I mean, she talked about her IRA like she's 30 years old.
She sounds sharper and more on the ball than I am half the time.
Like us. I mean, you think, how could anybody be that sharp? And she said, and by the way, I'm turning 90.
Wow. You'd never know, would you?
I would never have known it. And I just thought about it the other day, so I called her. She said, I called you yesterday. I had a question. Can you imagine? She has my phone number, knew it, and called me.
Wow. Well, that is awesome.
It is wild.
That's cool. Okay, so for people who want to get in, get some more information, maybe get started, maybe look at their portfolio and say, you know, maybe we want to get out of the stock market, or maybe we want to reassess, maybe do some life settlements, maybe some annuities, a diversified portfolio. You're there for them to help guide through the process, but they do have to call, make an appointment. So I assume it's business as usual this coming week. You have availability.
That's right. We don't have any holidays this week. We'll be working all week, helping people. And if they need to talk to me, they can call me. I'll talk to them, walk them through it, and show them how it works.
Cool. All right. Then one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.